The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'll be honest, and maybe this wasn't as true back when I started in radio. I mean, because it's been over 16 years now. But I don't even like sports that much, to be honest. Sports is definitely my job now. Like, I don't go home at night like, ooh, man, can't wait to dig into these sports matches. Like, I don't think like that. So I'll be honest. If all we did was talk sports, I don't think this show would be very good. And the other thing is, the Texans have a dummy at head coach. I mean, what makes you feel like they're going to come in with some great game plan? Are they going to come
because
with the
every
same
now
game
and
plan
and
they came in with against the Ravens?
Well,
you think that'll work?
No, but if they come in with the same game plan they did against the Chiefs, or the Saints for that matter, or the Patriots, occasionally he can do it. That's the frustrating thing. We talk about lack of consistency. You don't know until they show up what the hell they're going to do. I guarantee you, by the end of the first quarter, I'll tell you whether they're going to win a game or not.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. If you want to put comments on there, you can. Miss the first 2 hours? That's been the fun stuff. Tweet about your work. That's only allowed to tweet about your work today. See what Ed in Washington had? Good news, system is up and running.
Hey, hey.
But now there's a variance between the fixed assets master list versus the general ledger in the year-to-date depreciation. No material amount, but it is annoying. And then Longhorn says, thanks for the gym of the day. I'm kind of turned on right now.
All right. We aim to please.
We aim for something.
We didn't get into the All-Pro voting. And All-Pro team got announced today. Lamar Jackson chose as the quarterback on 47 of the 50 ballots.
Okay.
One of the three was Bill Polian, who has long he's a guy who was like staunchly, this guy's a wide receiver. I mean, if you're not willing to adjust,
why does he have a vote still? That guy is a turd.
Well, a lot of people are saying he shouldn't have a vote anymore if that's the case. And then there's some people saying it's the other three voted for Russell Wilson, which he had a great season, but. There was no discussion who the best quarterback in the league was this year, I don't think.
No.
But, it looks super petty of Bill Polian. DeAndre Hopkins, your lone Texan representative. And I think it's probably warranted when you... one guy, like the wide receiver voting, Michael Thomas was on 50 of 50 ballots.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Hopkins... edges out. He got 18 votes, edging out Julio Jones, who got 16. Chris Godwin got 14. Kenny Galladay and Julian Edelman received one each. The Julian Edelman one is
silly.
Odd to me.
That's silly.
I'll tell you the guy who really should have gotten some love, and I want to say in two of the three receiver stat categories, he beat Hopkins, was Devontae Parker. Like, no, I know he played on a garbage team, but...
isn't that more impressive?
He put up some big numbers. I think Hopkins had more catches than him, but I'm...
yeah, I think Hopkins was second in the league in catches.
I'm pretty sure Parker had more yards and more touchdowns. So if you've got more yards on less receptions and more touchdowns, that usually says that's pretty good. Meanwhile, he didn't get a vote? Come on.
Yeah, I think he should have gotten a little love, but...
yeah. And the other I have
no problem with Hopkins being.
No, I don't have a problem. I mean, here. I think you're splitting here. It had Julio or Chris Godwin been the guy, I don't think anybody could have said, I can't believe, because this wasn't Hopkins' best year.
No.
This wasn't a season where it was like a slam dunk. There was no doubt that he was one of the two best receivers in the league. Michael Thomas was a slam dunk. Hopkins has had seasons where he was a slam dunk. It was a year where there was some guys you could have made an argument for. What I don't like that they do is this flex.
Yeah, I have a real problem with that.
What the flex should be is whichever running back, tight end, or wide receiver received the most votes after the guys that didn't make the first team, that should be the flex guy. So it's got Christian McCaffrey as the flex. Derrick Henry was second, and Travis Kelce third. The only one, Travis Kelce, was the first one of those guys who wasn't on the first team offense. So
yeah,
should be the flex guy.
If you're not familiar with it, they put McCaffrey at both running back and flex.
Or Derrick Henry, I guess, should have been the flex because he wasn't on the first team.
Either one. I just think it's dumb that they've got McCaffrey on there twice. So, I mean, that makes no sense to me.
I don't get it.
But otherwise, there's not too much on there I would argue with. I think for the most part, they got it right. I do think that
Marcus Peters makes it. There's still discussion of whether he's Texans worthy or not. He's no Kevin Johnson. One of my Texans fans buddies was asking me about if Kevin Johnson's worth a damn in Buffalo. And the one thing I will say for Kevin Johnson this year, he's like the third or fourth corner on that team. But he's been healthy all year.
Yeah.
So he's at least useful. Here, he was often not even useful because he wasn't on the field.
And, but yeah, he's
nothing special there. This same Texans fan, and this guy is like, he's a big-time Texans fan. I'll ask you if you're surprised at this. He texted me, and I'm not going to say his name because I think the rest of the Texans fans might disown him. I hope we don't make the AFC Championship in Houston. That ticket will be $240 plus fees plus parking pass. It'll be around $300 for one ticket and one parking pass. And I said, well, zero chance of that. But I said, if they do, that means they're playing the Titans and they got a good chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I imagine that would seem like a bargain at that point. To which he said, I'm already pissed I have to pay for two crappy preseason games and one crappy game last week, which essentially was a third preseason game. That's three games with two seats and parking passes totaling about $850. He says, then I drive home and have to listen to NBC commentators talk about how scary the Titans could be in the playoffs. Get the F out of here, Tony Dungy. Watching a game and seeing how the Titans are barely winning 21-14 in the fourth quarter against twos and threes of the Texans. I'm already pissed I had to pay, but now you're telling me the whole world's some BS about how good the Titans are. Fake-ass team. Tell me how scary the Bills could be in the playoffs, and I'll listen. So,
just sounds like a very bitter individual.
In a way, though, he spent $850 on three games that didn't matter at all, and he probably didn't get to see the best players. I'd be frustrated too. I think if I was a season ticket guy,
I would just be frustrated that I have to watch this team every single week in person.
Yeah,
it's hard enough having to write about them every single week.
But the good thing is, when you're a season ticket holder, is you go out and you get drunk before the game. You know,
you have to be drunk to watch.
It's a social gathering.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they're a hard watch because so much of what O'Brien does frustrates the living bleep out of me. And you know, it never changes, right? I mean, it's been the same thing now for 6 years. So,
do you know who the kicker was on the first team All Pro? Did you see that?
It's a guy you got naked pictures of. We all know who made it.
Somehow only receiving 34 of the 40 or of the 50 first place votes, which you talk about guys who should be getting their votes taken away. If you voted for Harrison Butker over Justin Tucker, give your vote up. That was probably Bill Polian too.
Stop.
Give me a break.
Stop.
Brian Anger got a couple votes. Two votes.
He did.
For Brian Anger.
He did.
How many Texans received votes?
I don't know, but it couldn't have been that many.
Brian Anger received two votes. DeAndre Hopkins obviously received votes. That was it.
Yeah.
No other Texans received votes.
And there's really nobody else that should have.
Yeah. I'll agree with you.
I mean,
look at us agreeing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I would say to argue
the
about
only that. Other the only other guy who well, I guess Watson and Tunsil made the Pro Bowl, but you know Watson's not anywhere near those quarterbacks.
No way.
And yeah, I think the guys that they put at tackle or had better years than Tunsil. So if he hadn't had all the penalties, I'd listen, because he had a pretty good season. But you can't lead the league in penalties and be all pro, in my opinion.
Yeah, he only two AFC tackles. No. Two AFC right tackles and one AFC left tackle receive votes. So Ronnie Stanley got 42 of the 50 for left tackle, which is about right. Mitchell Schwartz got 13 votes. That was a guy that I was saying, I don't know, I thought he should have been a Pro Bowler, but he wasn't, or at least first team Pro Bowler. And then Trent Brown got votes. Which
okay. Yeah. Hey, before we get RJ and those guys on, can I bitch about something very briefly?
Oh, boy.
Stop. Can we please stop talking about the Oilers-Bills game from 27 yes. years ago? I don't want to say anything who it is. One of the guy I like who's on TV, is they're having a whole special on it. Chronicle did a story on it. Guys, most people weren't even alive. It's not the same franchise. What are you doing? Do we constantly have to keep looking back at stuff and say, oh, remember when this happened? Oh, my God. Who cares? That anybody who played in that game, spoiler alert, they're not playing football anymore. Anybody who coached in that game, they're not coaching these teams. What does it have to do? And one of them's not even in the city. We should be talking about the Music City Miracle then.
Yeah, let's do
hell?
That.
It just drives me nuts. It just strikes me as really lazy, because it's like, oh, what's an angle we can do? Oh, let's talk about the playoff game from 27 years ago. All right, why don't we talk about the time they played in the AFL playoffs in the 60s? All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And we'll have RJ and friends here in just a second. But I think this has been a good mix of jobs and sports.
That's right.
Yeah, a little sports in there. And we'll do a little gambling now in just a second. So, hopefully the people have enjoyed it. But, somebody on the Twitch channel, boy, it took forever. 6:17. Okay, to be fair, I did take your...
You took my Red Bull.
Yeah. Which I kind of needed after.
Yeah, you worked overtime today, so you were like, oh, I've got to have it.
Yeah, it was basically the time of day where I usually just sit in my office and do sports map stuff, and I had to come in and work with those guys. All right, we got them? Great. All right, let's go to... Well, it's Team Legend from pregame.com.
Thank you.
There is the legend that is RJ Bell, the biggest legend.
Well, listen, guys. Sorry to interrupt, Freddie. I want to give a congratulations to AJ because to me, tying me as co-champion, I don't know where it fits, but I'm pretty sure it's first paragraph.
If I had a Wikipedia page, it would lead off with that.
Yeah, I think so. Or at least after, you know, a failed stand-up comic, failed MMA fighter, and then acclaimed radio host in Houston who once tied RJ Bell.
That's it. Actually, I'd probably ahead now, of those somehow, other careers.
Now, I've gotten a lot of feedback that the fact that I had a business commitment, I couldn't be. Remember the last show that we picked? I wasn't even on the show.
I know.
And somehow I, let's be candid.
You got cute.
You know how they say that in Greek mythology, the ego is often the Achilles heel? Right? Is I felt so confident, and I wanted to psych you out a little bit, I can't lie. I felt so confident that I let you pick my game.
And the problem was, you gave me a game that I felt like you were really, really wrong on. The other game I didn't know, but you gave me an easy choice.
And what game was I really wrong on?
I think it was the Giants-Redskins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, so some would say the fact that somehow I wasn't there, the fact that then when it came time in week 17, when they call it nut-cutting time down at the on the ranch, they you would think that's when all, but somehow there was no show.
There was no show.
I don't understand. Now, let me ask you a serious question, though. Was there a show? Was that an impromptu decision, or was that scheduled way ahead of time?
No, we had bowl games scheduled that day. Now, I will say this, and Brad can attest to this. I on the Thursday before that, I said, if you want to get a pick from RJ and Fezzik for our Thursday hit, we can do it then. And Brad said RJ and Fezzik are both off today, the day after Christmas.
Well,
what were you celebrating the day after Jesus was born? What are you doing over there?
Listen, winning is my business, and it's 365. All right? So I appreciate Brad acting as a gatekeeper because it's required. I mean, there's a lot of local radio guys that want to get a hold of me on any given day. But what I'm saying is, I think it ended up turning out great. Because to me, I hate losing more than I like winning. All right? And this is what I know. Did USC win a national title in 2003? Yeah. Michigan in 97? Yeah. Washington in 91? Yeah. Colorado in 90? Yeah. So I won.
Okay. Yeah, as long as did USC still win in 2003, or is that taken away?
Oh, jeez.
Well, listen, unless one too many burritos is some kind of PED violation, I'm fine.
Well, guys, there's a short slate this week. You want to just go through game by game and kind of give us a little breakdown on what the Vegas perspective is on all the games?
But remember now, and I love this idea, I thought we were going to go a five-man weave type thing where we debate the game. We don't all give our picks. We debate it, and then roundtable, rapid fire, we give our picks. And what is there, 11 games in the playoffs, I think?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we're having a little 11-game mini contest.
Okay. I'm up for that.
You like that idea?
So we're gonna bat it around, and then we're going to give a side on every game?
Yeah, I think boom, boom, boom.
Okay, let's do it then. Well, let's start you want to start with the Texans-Bills. That's the game that's got the most local interest here, obviously. And the number opens up at 3, and it's been pushed down to 2.5 now. This is a tough game, and Fred and I are kind of going back and forth because Fred seems to think that the Texans are the much better team here, so they should win. I feel like this is about what the number should be. I think these teams are about the same. And I give the Texans about 2.5 points for home field. So the line seems about right to me. What are you guys thinking? And what is the line moving from 3 down to 2.5 told you guys?
So here's what I would say. I think we should give ourselves a break here because picking every game is tough. And people don't understand that. I think when there's a split line like this, that you can take 3 or you can lay 2.5. And we'll make our picks accordingly.
Okay.
Right. So, but I also think considering that there's going to be 4 games this week, 4 games next, that, and if we're all talking on each, we probably, and I'll defer to you, AJ and Fred, but I think we go round the horn. One, like, what's your main point on this game? Right. And Brad gives his main one in his pick, Fez's main one in his pick, and we just do that.
Okay.
Does that work? Nope. And let's try for a game or two and see if it does.
Okay,
if it works.
That works for
Why don't
me
we
too.
Start with. So what's your? You got the choice, AJ. 2.5 or 3? What do you want to do?
If I had to play a side, I'd take Buffalo plus 3 points.
All right, and the main reason being
that the Texans have struggled with running quarterbacks, and the Bills obviously have a good running quarterback. The Texans are the second worst team with yards per carry allowed to opposing quarterbacks, and the Texans have a hard time. If they can't beat you with the big play, with Hopkins getting down the field and making big plays, they have a hard time beating you. And that's what the Bills do best, is take away those big down the field plays. You've got to dink and dunk. And when you're a dink and dunk team, you can't afford false starts. You can't afford holds. And that's been sort of a bugaboo for the Texans. So I would take the Bills +3 if I had to take a side.
Real quick, your first round lineman got hurt, right? Week 9, was it, if I recall, Fez, we were talking about?
Yeah, Titus Howard.
How's the line been since?
The line's been pretty solid. I think that what expectations were coming into the season, I would say the Texans' offensive line exceeded expectations of what we thought they would be. So
even post-Tunzel? After the Tunzel trade?
Yes.
Yeah. I think as long as Rod Johnson has been playing right tackle, they've been fine. When they had Chris Clark out there, it was a disaster.
Right.
So the rest of the line's been pretty solid.
Is his real name Rod Johnson?
Roderick, actually, but
yes, you know. We just call him Rod.
Yeah,
we just call him Rod for obvious reasons. So
there you go, Rod Johnson. I think I saw his movies.
I might have had a cameo in there. I want to make this clear. I have no good feel for this game, because if bad Texans show up, they're going to lose. If their offense shows up and plays the way it did against the Patriots, then I think they'll win by a touchdown. So I'll take Texans -2.5, but I'm not playing this game for real. I don't trust them enough, and I don't trust Bill O'Brien and his 1-3 playoff record. So that's it.
Brad.
I'm going to take Buffalo +3, and it's just simple for me. Houston overrated. Here's a 10-6 team that was outgained on the season, outscored on the season. I don't trust them in this spot here.
Which spot do you trust, man?
Against the Jags.
Is it anything about the spot?
No, it's not. The team, it's a very high-variance team, despite the fact of what DVOA says. Fred almost hit it. If they play like they did against the Patriots, they're going to easily win, but can you fully trust this team on a week-in and week-out basis?
So what you're saying is, for example, people like to play teasers in the playoffs.
Yep.
If you take Buffalo +8, +8.5, that, or more towards 8.5,
that seems like
a classic teaser.
Yeah.
But Houston is the kind of team that can win games big you wouldn't expect.
Exactly.
But I
do take Buffalo +3.
RJ, the thing about that, and Fred and I have talked a lot about teasers this week, because I think almost all these games have a good tease option in them. But the Bills don't get blown out. They've lost one game this season by more than a touchdown. And I think it was like week 5 against the Eagles. The Ravens could only beat them by a touchdown. The Patriots beat them by a touchdown. They're just not. It's hard to run away from them because they make games ugly. They make you play an ugly game, and it's really hard
to
get separation.
Plus, lower totals.
Yep.
Lower totals are good for teasers because they're effectively buying points. By the way, not that it matters, but that Buffalo game had to be week 11, at least 11 or 12, right? But either way, it's same point. I'm just because I know that was considered a must win at the time. For Philly, remember? They had a long road trip.
You might be right.
Middle of the year.
Well, let's pull it up. All right, Fez, you're up.
All right, I'll take Buffalo +3. It's all about Will Fuller being downgraded. NFL Network says, James Palmer says he's a real long shot to play now. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, Will Fuller, he doesn't move the line. How important can he be? He's got less than 700 yards. Well, it turns out that when Fuller, who extends the defense, he's a speedster. When he plays, Watson actually throws for an extra 1.5 yards per pass play. How much of a difference is 1.5 yards per pass play? Well, it turns out if you add 1.5 yards, if you take away 1.5 yards from the number 12 quarterback in the league, he becomes the worst quarterback in the league. So with Fuller being a long shot to play, suddenly Houston is no longer attractive at all to me. I'll take Buffalo.
Buffalo so Philly was that week 7, RJ.
Was it? Wow. Yeah. Then how did they have a must-win game? Because in my mind, that was the narrative. I would have bet 50K. It was if you would have gave me 7.5 as the over under, I would have bet 50K. So see,
well there you go,
Kelly Criterion. Don't bet too much per game.
I blew it.
Here's what I would say: is I agree with the 3, and if I had to take it at 2.5, I'd probably even take it at 2.5. I don't love it though. And this is one of those games, and I'll be quick, but I liked Houston earlier in the week. Like, if you would have said, what's your favorite pick? I would have probably said Houston. And as we handicapped it, and Brad, it's funny, you think this would have been in front of my face, that whole out-pointed out yard, it wasn't. And it was like, wait a minute. I've been trying to figure out, like, Houston plays great sometimes and sometimes okay. But no, because if you're C's and A's, you get a B. And it's not C's and A's. It's A's and B's and C's and D's and F's. And, oh, by the way, you add it up, it's a C minus. And I don't see any reason you can say a team that was out-yarded and a team that was out-scored is better than an average team. And what's happened? You got Deshaun Watson, who is a football sexy player. No doubt. He's a highlight guy. He also performs, but his baseline of performance compared to the amount of profile he has, the amount of, you know, viral type things that he generates, he is a lot of flash. I hear he's a great locker room guy. I'm not saying he's one of these, you know, kids that don't get it, but for whatever reason, his style of play gets a bunch of attention, and it might not be fully warranted. And when you get down to the heart of it, points and yards are actually more important than wins if it comes to predicting the future. Now, if you won or lost the game, it matters in your standings. But for the future, yards and points are more predictive. Thus, I don't want any part of Houston.
All right, can I just throw one thing in there since we're talking about yards? J.J. Watt back?
Yes.
They allowed 362 yards per game with him in the lineup, 407 yards without him, including allowing over 400 yards four times, which he only did once with J.J. Watt in there. So there is a significant impact.
Assuming he's 100%. Assuming,
well, he wasn't really 100% all year. I mean, if he's 80%, he'll have an impact. So just
R.J.,
I wouldn't ignore that. That's all.
You said something there that I want to give you credit for, because this is something that I've kind of had to look at myself in the mirror on. You said at the beginning of the week you would have thought your best bet was Houston. And I found myself last year, especially in the NFL, and I actually changed it this year, and I think it improved me. And I hit over 55% in the NFL this year, because last year I was looking at the team that I wanted, and then I was handicapping to that team. And it's mm-hmm. it's easy to do that, particularly in the NFL. You can make numbers say what you want them to say. But for you to say that you know, you would have said the Texans were your best bet early in the week, and now you're on the opposite side. I think that takes a lot of work, because it's really easy to fall into a trap of your first instinct. You see the two names on the team on the paper, you say that's the one, and then you just find the numbers that back it up. So for you to make a complete change like that, I think that's a big deal, and guys need to do that.
Well, I appreciate that. But here's the thing, I think it gets the ego out of it quickly, is that we're all fighting over 2.5 points. Meaning that if the line, I'll give you an example. I mentioned it a few times here, a $5,000 charity challenge with Chris Canty, the former Giant, on ESPN New York, right? We've done this now for 2 years. It's one game a week. And we went to this week, we're within a half a game of each other, and I have my best bet, which I guess, see, now I'm trapped again. I trapped myself that time, Feds. I had my best bet on the game. I won't even say the game. I'll be the way I do it.
Okay.
He had the opposite side. And really, our disagreement was, you know, he probably thought the line, let's just say the line's pick him just to not give the game away. He probably thought his team should have been laying 1.5. I thought my team should have been laying 1.5. Or so. And that variation is the fight. So if I'm right, or you're right, or whoever is right, they were right not because the team won 30-0. They weren't wrong because they lost, you know, 0-30. It's because the one time out of 20, it falls in that corridor where the line matters within a point or so. That's the difference between flipping coins and working at 7-Eleven, or being like Fez, mansion, and a yacht.
Well, obviously, the 2.5 to 3 makes a big difference. The next game, the number seems settled. There's some 4.5s, there's some 5.5s, mostly 5s, and it doesn't really matter there. It's not as important between 4.5 and 5.5. It matters, but not as much as 2.5 to 3, obviously.
True.
But the Patriots, giving 5 points here at home against the Titans. We want to go in some sort of order, RJ, or you would just want me to go?
Yeah, why don't you guys? What, home court advantage, baby. You guys start.
Okay. This was a spot where, kind of like you were saying, I went in wanting a reason to take the Titans, and because I wanted to fade the Patriots. And after all I've looked at, I just can't bring myself to do it at this number. If you gave me a 7, it'd be my biggest bet of the year. I just cannot do it with a Titans team that has a first-time quarterback in the playoffs. They've got a great weapon in A.J. Brown, and the Patriots have an all-pro corner to take him away. There's just a lot of things that make me feel like the Titans, you know, going up and playing in what's possibly going to be bad weather. There's a lot of things that make me want to take the Patriots here, even though I had no interest in taking them as a favorite. But I just cannot pull the trigger on this Titans team that I don't really believe in to begin with. And this line is telling me that they're about 2 points worse than the Patriots, which they might be. But I think when you take into account playoff experience, 30 wins for Tom Brady in the playoffs versus 0 appearances for Tannehill, it's just hard for me to do. I'll take the Patriots -5 begrudgingly, even though I don't like it one bit.
And this reinforces the point. These lines, for you to have a bet at -110 that's profitable, the line has to be wrong. The line's not wrong in every game. Now, when we go no vig, like we bet amongst ourselves on the podcast and such, and by the way, we're going to have a special late in the week pod right when this is over. It'll be up on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And you can just search RJ Bell on the pod player and get it. When we have no vig, now if I think it should be 5.5, Fez thinks it should be 5, we got to bet because the theory is, you know, I'm 51%. If I'm right, he's 51. If he's right, well, I'll take a 51% in even money. But at -110, you need the line to be wrong. So unless the bookies decide to go to zero vig, you got to pass some of these games.
Well, obviously, yeah. And I don't know that I've got a straight up play that I'm going to make this week, honestly. And especially when you're down to 4 games, the numbers are going to be way tighter than they are during the regular season.
I don't know about it. See, that could be a whole show because someone could say more public money now. And thus, if you want to be contrarian, it's better during the playoffs. But all that said, I think having 0 picks on the sides is very viable. So, Freddie, what do you got?
Well, this is another one that I don't really like. There's only one game I like this weekend. This isn't it. I'll take the points with the Titans. I think it's a field goal game. I do think the Patriots are going to find a way to win, but I'll go ahead and be the sucker and take the +5.
Brad Powers.
Take the Patriots here. You look at the Patriots off a loss. This is against the spread, 66% since 2002, since their first Super Bowl winning season. Patriots off a home loss, 75% against the spread. Patriots with revenge, 65% against the spread. I'll take the Pats.
Here's the thing I don't like about those trends. Any revenge or any awful loss is a proxy for when they're extra motivated. And how does that motivation translate? Would you agree with that, Brad?
I do.
And in the playoffs, you're motivated anyway.
Yep.
All right. So is there 11 on the Spinal Tap amp? I don't know. Fez, now, one thing. I'll help Fez avoid this, perhaps. He can just address it. On 200 stations just a while ago, straight out of Vegas, you said, you know something, I actually like Henry in this game because he's so rested, Derrick Henry. And we said rested, he carried the ball 30 some times last week. And you said, yeah, but he sat out the week before. Any comment?
No comment.
Continue.
All right, I'm going to look to the Titans in this game, and it's all about the last.
So you're going to look to the Titans. Is your pick the Titans?
My pick is the Titans. Thank you. It's all about the last 7 games. If you just looked at Tannehill, the last 7 games, he's the number 6 quarterback in the league by QBR. If you looked at Brady the last 7 games, Brady is the number 26 quarterback. So a disparity of 6 versus 26. That is too great for me not to go ahead and look to play on Tennessee, basically fading Tom Brady here down the stretch. And also, it's going to be more difficult for Brady because I know what you're thinking. Hey, that Tennessee, those cornerbacks, they're banged up. The Tennessee defense, it's their weakness. Well, The Titans do get back Adoree Jackson. He's been one of the two cornerbacks that's been out for 4 weeks. He's a first rounder, and he was ranked number 6 cornerback by Pro Football Focus. So a very big addition coming back for Tennessee.
All right. That's interesting. I'm going with the Pats. And to me, this is a debate between the season and the more recent games. Because if you look at the last 7 games, whenever cherry-pick time Fez wants to look at, I think no doubt that Tennessee's the better team. I mean, just a better team. This line should be like 2.5, if that was the truth. It's not. And oh, by the way, we did a little research on this, because obviously Tannehill has a lot of experience against Belichick in New England. Brad, what's his record?
0-6 in New England.
Yeah, 0.0 yes. Wins.
Yep.
Not saying that's an end-all, but, you know, when Belichick knows you so well, I'm not sure that's an advantage either. So I'm sticking with the Pats.
All right,
hey, guys, if you don't mind, I apologize. I've got like 5.5 minutes. We mind if we jump to my best bet?
Yeah, let's do it.
And then you guys can finish up however you want.
We're all
going
to have to be pretty quick. We got about 5 minutes left in the segment, so let's go. Let's go ahead and where you want to go.
Mine simple is my best, or yeah, I guess my best bet doesn't matter. We're not even really doing best bets, but I really like Minnesota here, and it's simple. This line's not justified. It's just been a perfect storm of public sentiment, meaning Drew Brees 29 out of 30 on Monday Night Football. Then, going on the road, a lot of people like Brad Powers with national platforms saying things like, hey, he doesn't play outside very much. He just says, no problem, buddy. Great day. Any comment, Brad?
No comment.
Now, that's all justified, right? Meaning that he's great and all that, but it's just been overreacted to. They've won a lot of close games this year, the Saints. And to me, that evens itself out in the long run. On the other hand, the only way Minnesota could be getting over a touchdown is if you believe Kirk Cousins is as bad as people tend to make him out to be when he has a bad Monday night game or something. And we've talked about this before. Here it comes again. 1 o'clock Eastern start time. Cousins has covered 2/3 of the time, 66%. Non-1 o'clock starts, he's covered 1/3 of the time. No quarterback in NFL history over any extended period has covered 66% of the time. So I know it's a slice of him, but he'd be the best quarterback of all time against the spread if all games were at 1 o'clock. And he'd be the worst quarterback of all time against the spread if all games were not at 1 o'clock.
Well, I agree.
Now, what does that mean? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I agree. I was going to move on, but if you got another point, go for it.
No, I was just going to say that ultimately, that is the driver of this line, and you can say it's the big TV games and all that. I think it's the start time. We've done the research. I'm not sure I'm right. I'm willing to bet it, though. Minnesota, best bet.
I'm with you, and I don't think at any point in the season did we think that the Saints were 5 or 6 points better than the Vikings until right now. And there's a lot of yep. recency bias, and we've seen a couple weeks where the Vikings have been without key guys on offense or without key guys being healthy on offense, Cook and Thielen. I think that as those guys get healthy, I think that, and obviously this time off has been good for them. I don't see this team getting run away from. So I'm with you on Vikings outside of a touchdown at +8.
Me too.
So real quick, I'm sorry, I was going to jump out, but I want to say one thing because I think this is important for that guys betting and gals. I believe if you like the Vikings, put half your money on the money line. And here's why. The time I'm worried is if Minnesota gets down 14. Because if you have an 8-point dog, at a certain percentage of the time, you're going to have a down 14, and you're supposed to cover some of those. I think Cousins might really get down on himself in that situation, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So +330 is the current number. I'd make half my bet money line, half my bet spread if we're talking execution.
Yeah, RJ, you got a pick for the Seahawks-Eagles game?
Yeah, Eagles.
All right.
Real quick, Fez.
Yeah, Eagles for me as well.
Eagles.
All right, and are you on Minnesota or not?
Saints, lean Saints.
You don't have a lean. You pick the Saints. Go
Brad.
Ahead.
I'm on the Saints.
Saints.
Yep.
Okay, and you all guys right, are all guys. You guys are all Eagles.
Yes, all three on the Eagles.
Yeah, I this is the toughest game for me. I guess I'll take Seahawks. I don't like this game at all, but I'll take Seahawks.
I'll take Eagles.
Okay. All right, guys.
All right, boys, that was fun.
Yeah, good times. We'll talk to you guys down the line next week.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
take you. Care. That's Brad Powers, Fezzik, and RJ Bell from pregame.com. You can follow them all on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
Was Fez on the Vikings too?
No, Fez Saints.
Oh, okay. Brad was Saints. I didn't hear a Fezzik pick.
All three were.
They weren't all three Saints.
No, no.
Because RJ was Vikings.
No, sorry. Y'all three were Vikings. The other two were Saints.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. All right. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
You hear us with our fancy studio sponsorship?
Yeah.
Look at us.
Nicely done.
World. We're making it.
But they don't just sponsor us. They sponsor the whole studio.
Right. Everybody.
Yeah. But all the people all the time.
Let's face it, this studio's here for us.
Well, I mean,
the other guys just use it sometimes.
You kind of drive everything. Let's be honest. I mean, oh, wait, that's narcissistic, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It really is.
Do we have stupid stuff this week? Do we have enough?
Yep. Well,
probably just from today we had enough stupid stuff. Let's do it.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Tarwinder Shokar.
Oh, I remember him from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was one of the... The Dothraki, I believe. The t-shirt he was wearing would not be allowed on the plane. It was a t-shirt that had an image of a snake.
Okay.
Apparently, they thought the snake on his t-shirt would freak out the other passengers and forced him to turn it inside out.
What? How old was this kid?
10. It says the reasoning was...
Was it a trouser snake?
See, no, it was a snake. I mean, a 10-year-old trouser snake is going to be more like...
Well, I mean, on his t-shirt.
It
could have been like a Lexington Steel fan club shirt.
No, it would have been a Vienna sausage. Is there something going on with these
they
two?
They both got the Hawaii game right, and that was like the first game that Aaron really bumped up in points was Hawaii.
I credit that to Brad.
Credit that to the referees is who you need to credit it to.
I bet your wife would like the show more than you,
she
though.
Probably will.
Yeah.
That's why I'm never going to tell her about it.
How's she not going to find out? It's only like the most popular show on streaming now.
Oh, I don't let her have the internet. She doesn't know.
Keep her locked in the closet.
That's right. Well, I don't have a baby at home, but I'm still me. I don't want to get sick. So, and he's using my microphone. It's a disaster.
Yeah, well.
You're old. I mean.
Yeah, but you know what?
The flu can be deadly at your advanced age.
Well, that's why I get a flu shot every year, and I never get
true.
The flu. All right, we have Hoffman on Hollywood.
Oh, crap. No. I've had the worst time realizing what day of the week it is. I honestly didn't even realize it was really Thursday, so that's on me. I did have a Hollywood-related story, if I can freaking get it up.
That sounds like more of a personal issue than, you know, a Hollywood story. But
where is it? Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Well, today's Friday, just so you know. So you should be there on that. So I guess we both did a little extra radio today.
Yeah.
So, well, this was fun. I enjoyed this. I don't think we solved anything.
No. And we didn't even address the Cowboys firing Jason Garrett finally, I guess because we knew it was happening for
a while. We've been talking about it since for three weeks. Oh, Trey will be excited.
God, Trey, I can't wait to see you in uniform. You're going to be a damn good soldier, Trey. I can see it now. They're going to make you shave. And you shave your head, too. Oh, yeah. Full clean shave at basic training. You got nothing. You can't like say, oh, let me just get a fade. No, they take it all there. How many push-ups can you do right now, Trey?
He said 70.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, this is starting to feel like the early scene from Stripes.
Yeah, I'll definitely take the under. Yeah, you better get in shape, Trey.
If he said 7?
Yes. Are you sure he didn't say 7?
When he first the 7 came out, I was like, oh, yeah. And then he added the T to it. I was like, oh, no.
No.
Mm.
All right.
He said he could do that in fifth grade.
Well, that's possible.
God, there's some things I could do in fifth grade that I wish I could still do. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Hoffman. That was pretty lame today, but hey, it's a Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.